1220 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The White House touts the latest economic report that finds annual inflation at its lowest level in more than 3 years. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Jared Bernstein, who heads the White House Council of Economic Advisors, on what that means.
We're moving in the right direction on inflation and doing so with some momentum.
Consumer prices from last month rose just a mild 0.2%, but
while the trend is our friend, our work is far from done.
Meaning the president knows prices are still too high.
We hear you.
And he says the Biden administration continues to work hard to do something about it.
To lower the cost of prescription drugs and health coverage, housing,
as well as prices at the grocery store. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump at a rally in Asheville, North Carolina, says when it comes to the Affordable Care Act,
I'm going to keep the Affordable Care Act unless we can do something much better. We'll keep it. It stinks. It's not good.
VP Kamala Harris and President Biden visit Maryland tomorrow. Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq has resigned effective immediately. Shafiq was named president of the university last year and was the first woman to take on the role. She acknowledges the protests that roiled the campus this year, along with others worldwide, factored into her decision. Power restoration is the focus in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Ernesto. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez reports from the island.
People are out assessing the damage to their neighborhoods. While this did not have the winds and the flooding associated with Maria, we did see some flooded streams and rivers along the way. So that is a concern that things will continue to rise.
There's a new round of ceasefire negotiations scheduled for tomorrow over the war in Gaza, despite Hamas leaders skipping the talks. CBS's Ramey Innocencio.
Hamas is leaving some room, some hope open looking ahead after tomorrow. They said that if there is some kind of breakthrough with the people who will be attending, then Hamas could come back after Thursday.
A ruling regarding abortion terminology in Arizona. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
An informational pamphlet for Arizona voters who will decide whether to guarantee a constitutional right to an abortion could refer to a fetus as an unborn human being. In the ruling, the Arizona Supreme Court said the words, which are favored by GOP lawmakers, would help voters understand the current law.
The creator of the famous Amos cookie empire dies at 88. Wally Amos once appeared on the TV show The Office.
Back when I was regular Amos.
What's under the cloth?
We'll get to that.
Cookies. Bet you anything it's cookies.
It's cookies.
Amos's children says he died at his home in Honolulu from complications with dementia. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Voter turnout Tuesday in Wisconsin's fastest-growing county was 45%. That's the highest for a fall primary in Dane County in 40 years. Democrat Kelda Royes represents Madison in the state Senate.
You know, Wisconsin is always a swing state. It is on a knife's edge. So I don't think that anybody should be feeling overconfident. But I do think that all the bets point to the election trending blue.
Turnout in Wisconsin's other big blue county, Milwaukee County, was 33%. 16 Republican state lawmakers won their primaries easily Tuesday. The closest races are won by Paul Tittle, who took nearly 60% of the vote, and Chaz Green and Karen Hurd, who won 57%. WisPolitics reports insiders expected more of an anti-incumbent wave. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Dodgers beat the Brewers again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. L.A. Shohei Ohtani hit his 37th home run of the year in a 7-2 win over the Brewers at American Family Field. Ohtani now leads the National League in home runs. A rough night for the Brewers starting pitcher Colin Ray, who gave up all of the Dodgers, 7 runs and 6 innings of work. The Brewers have lost 3 in a row. Manager Pat Murphy says his team is sputtering right now. NFL experts keep asking, do the Packers really have a true number one receiver right now? Matt LaFleur had this this to say.
I get like, I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. I feel like we got a bunch of them. So I think the beauty of them is they're all capable of doing many things, which gives us a lot of versatility from an offensive perspective in terms of how we use these guys and deploy their talents. They're all capable of being a number one in some capacity.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. We're sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the mid-60s, high tomorrow mid-70s. A stray storm and partly sunny Friday, high low 70s. The weekend looks nice, with sunshine, a high around 80 on Saturday, low 80s for Sunday. It's 71 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk about the Pabst Mansion in Milwaukee. Also, all things sports with Paul Noonan and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunja Hade, Hinga Dena. Welcome to Native Roots Radio. Hailing Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This episode is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations.
Hey, we're always excited to host these monthly conversations in partnership with the City of Minneapolis, and we discuss American Indian relations within the city. And I want to hand this over to our guest host, Christine McDonald. Welcome to Native Roots Radio and our special American Indian Relations Minneapolis Air Show. Ho-wa.
Ho-wa. Thank you, Robert. It's always so great to see you again, and Haley, too. So, Buju, Ogadaki, Gabwik, Nindishnika, Zashijak, Nindungem. I am Christine McDonald. I'm the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis, and I am your host this evening for Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations. This show is produced by the City of Minneapolis to give you the latest news about our city. So, it's that time of year again. Kids across Minneapolis are getting ready to head back to school. Parents are getting their lists together. You got to get your backpack, notebook, pencils, and everything that your kid's going to need to learn. However, there's one more thing that you need to check off that list, and that's making sure that your kids' vaccines are up to date. August is National Immunization Awareness Month, and the Minneapolis Health Department is using this time to draw attention to the importance of getting kids fully vaccinated in time for school. Nearly 2 out of every 5 Minneapolis kids are not up to date on childhood vaccines. Approximately 3 in 5 Minneapolis teenagers are not up to date on their adolescent vaccines. Minneapolis kids are well below the target set by the National Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for starting measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines. The CDC does want 95% of kids to have their first shots by kindergarten, but only 62% of those Minneapolis kids from birth to 4 years old have had their first measles shot. Looking closer at that data, we have 71% of kids ages 5 to 9 up to date on measles, and only 60% of 4-year-olds are getting their measles shot. Falling below the CDC target has our families, schools, and communities vulnerable to a measles outbreak. So a little more than half of Minneapolis, 15 to 19 year olds, have had their first shot to vaccinate against meningitis and HPV. About 66% have received their first meningitis shot, 61% HPV. So maybe say slightly above half of what we need to be at. So joining us to talk about vaccinations is Maria Shefty. She's a community outreach and education specialist with the Maternal Health and Adolescent Health Division of the Minneapolis Health Department. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Hi. Can you tell us a little bit about you and your work for the city's health department?
Yeah. So, like you said, my name is Maria Shefty, and I'm enrolled in White Earth Reservation here in Minnesota. Born and raised in South Minneapolis, still a South Minneapolis resident. And I have been brought on to the City of Minneapolis Health Department in this current role that I'm in. And I was brought on in February, and I'm the American Indian Liaison for the Maternal and Child and Adolescent Health Team. And part of what I do is outreach and education on vaccinations in the different Minneapolis communities. My focus has been on the American Indian community, you know, building relationships with the different organizations, getting out there talking to community members about the importance of being vaccinated and up to date with vaccinations. Also, another thing that I do with my team is pop-up vaccination clinics. So we'll have a pop-up vaccination clinic outside of a clinic or hospital setting. We've done Met farmers markets, community events, parks. It's a way to get people vaccinated out there with, that's low barrier and easy for them to get to. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I've seen you guys out there. And I've seen people getting their vaccinations out at like farmers market, Indian month events. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the health department is making a big push for parents and guardians to check their child's vaccine status and get their children's immunizations up to date. What do our parents need to know to do that?
Well, they need to know, well, it's so important to know that you are up to date on what vaccines you need. And like, it's a hard feeling when we see our kids getting sick, right? And we want to do anything we can to make them feel better. And part of what we could do is getting them vaccinated. And it, especially from diseases that are preventable, like measles. And if you get your child vaccinated today, it saves you all kinds of troubles that could happen in the future with getting sick. You know, getting sick, there's a big impact on your family. Everyone can get sick if they come in contact with somebody and you're not vaccinated. So being vaccinated, you know, protects everybody in your family and everyone you come in contact with. Especially, I want to emphasize protecting our elders, because we find them to be, you know, they're so important to us, and not being vaccinated could get them sick. And that can look really terrible. You know, we don't even want to imagine, even our little ones. So being vaccinated, you know, just keeps you all the way around protected. Even if you come in contact with someone that isn't vaccinated. So, yeah, you know, we encourage you to talk to your healthcare providers and your doctors, and just be informed on what vaccines are due for you and which ones you're supposed to already have and which ones are coming up in the future. So.
Thank you. I understand that your team recently reviewed the data around Minneapolis children who are not up to date on those vaccines. And how concerned is your team?
Well, the Minneapolis Health Department's always concerned when someone's health isn't fully protected. We really encourage parents to review their child's vaccination list with their primary doctor to make sure that their immunizations are all up to date. Especially now when it's August, September coming up, back to school is coming up, and your kid's going to be in school by other children, by teachers, whoever they come in contact with at school. It's really important that they are protected and that the community stays safe. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We always tend to see a big spike in illness when our kids get back into that classroom with each other.
I know.
Yeah. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that the city and county do offer free clinics. And you can go to the Minneapolis website at minneapolismn.gov and just search the website for free vaccine to find a clinic near you.
Yes, yes, that is what I wanted to mention. Sorry, I forgot that. Yeah, go on to the Minneapolis website, minneapolismn.gov/vaccines, and it will show you a list of all the clinics that are coming up.
Yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I seen
1 minute.
1 minute yet. Okay. Oh. For 1 minute.
I know NAC, Native American Community Clinic, will be offering free walk-in clinics on Saturdays. Beginning in August here, Native American Community Clinic is right off of Franklin Avenue there and a really great resource for our Native American mm-hmm. families.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Yep, they're right in the community. They're very close to a lot of places that, you know, the community needs. So they're right there.
Do you have one coming up that you guys are going to be at?
So we have one coming up at Corcoran Park on August 30th. And I believe, you know what? I don't want to give the wrong time. I did have it. I believe it's from...
It'll be on the city website, right?
It will be on the city website, yes. And there we're going to be providing different vaccines for the community. And that's a park in South Minneapolis, Corcoran Park.
Hey, this is Minneapolis Air presented by Native Roots Radio. We're going to take a short break here and come right back. Great job, you guys. And I can't wait to hear more. Oh,
unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl. Howl!
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
So it is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air, and here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis, and joining us today is Maria Shefty with the Minneapolis Health Department. And we are talking about vaccines and getting your kids vaccinated in time for school. So according to your data, 40% of Minneapolis kids are not up to date on their childhood vaccines. That means 2 out of 5 children. And only 62% of Minneapolis kids from birth to 4 years old have had their first measles shot. That leaves so many unprotected. Measles cases in Minnesota have significantly been on the rise. Most cases since 2017. That has to be really concerning for the health department and your team specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really concerning. With that, with that case, those cases going up like that, we are very concerned and want to keep sending out this message that it's so important to go in and get vaccinated and be on top of your vaccinations. It's all about protecting yourself and your community, right? So just being safe about that and protecting your family and getting staying on top of those vaccines and talking to your healthcare provider would be really helpful for your for what you need to do. You talk to your doctor about, you know, healthcare things.
So can you tell us why kids are delayed on their vaccines so much right now?
A lot of it had to do with the pandemic. A lot of families were falling behind. People weren't going in as usual, like on a regular basis, to get those vaccinations. And it just became harder when you fall behind. It's kind of hard to keep up, right? So there's that. And then I believe there's a lot of misinformation out there on vaccinations, and a lot of people, you know, they just, it's challenging for parents to want to get their children vaccinated with all this misinformation, right? Mm-hmm. Like they believe it's not safe, or, you know, like they can get hurt or something like that. But we want to also say, talk to your provider, talk to your doctor, let them know your concerns, and the doctor will be able to go in more depth about what the vaccine is, what it does, how it works, you know, things like that to keep you safe. So yeah, I believe it was the pandemic and a lot of misinformation mm-hmm. was causing a delay.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are afraid to go into the doctor's office during the pandemic.
Oh yeah.
Go anywhere. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
According to the CDC, kindergartner vaccine coverage has been declining over the past two school years from 95% to 93% nationally. There are even more significant drops depending on where you live. So how concerned about this age group are we, and why?
We are concerned. In Minneapolis, only 60% of children have completed their childhood vaccines, their vaccine series before kindergarten. It's so important to keep on track with those vaccination schedules because it protects your child and their classmates. As they get older, you know, they're exposed to more people with their sports, there's clubs they get involved with, there's just more people they get around, right? So starting to keep up with their schedule. I know people get busy, their families get busy, but keeping up with that vaccine schedule will just, you know, help you keep you safe. And it kind of, you know, it, if you think about it, it prevents a lot of things that can happen from not being vaccinated, like being hospitalized. Sometimes these children that are catching the measles, you know, they end up in the hospital. It causes all kinds of things, and that can all be prevented by getting vaccinated.
Do you happen to know, like, when we're talking about getting kids caught up on the schedule, for those that have missed, how do they, is it they double up? Do they go in more often? Or is it you just start right back up and then you stay on that schedule?
I think what they would do, I'm not 100% sure, is that you go in and then you just kind of get what you were missing. Mm-hmm. And if it's a series of shots, I don't think you'd all get it at once, but you come back in for like your second dose or however it works. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about children, but around 3 and 5 Minneapolis teenagers aren't up to date on their adolescent vaccines. Why is this the case, and how does not being vaccinated affect our teens differently?
Well, it kind of all has the same outcome, right? Like they can get very sick, just like the kids, if they're not up to date. They can spread it. Not being fully vaccinated for teens, they aren't fully protected either. And I believe a lot of that had to do with not being fully vaccinated for them too, had, you know, we go back to the pandemic when families stopped going to the doctor on a regular basis, and wasn't getting routine vaccines for their age. So I, you know, it's the same outcome for teenagers, you know, and the older you get, the more challenging it comes to kind of catch up on those vaccines, you know, because then you're just like, I got to do all these vaccines, like, what, you know, so doing them at the proper ages, you know, I think is best. But yeah, so there's also for high school students, there's the Minneapolis Public Schools has the school-based clinics, and it makes it easy for students to get vaccinated at school. They can go to the clinic during school hours and talk to their staff about making sure they're up to date on their vaccines.
Do their parents have to be there for that, or are they able to just go in and?
There is, they do want it to be both parent and the parent doesn't have to be there, but I think they want the parent to be consenting to it with the child, so that they're not just in there like, hey, I'm getting this shot really quick. My parent doesn't know, but yeah, so they would like for parents to know ahead of time.
Yeah. Okay. For those listening, how do parents know when to get their child vaccinated?
Well, at your primary health care, your doctor. So there's vaccines you get when you're born, right? And then there's some that you get before kindergarten. And then as your child progresses through school, there's different ages. And when you go to your primary care doctor clinic, they will have, they will be able to tell you at every age what to do. Like, for example, my daughter just turned 4 at the end of June and just got her second dose for her MMR measles vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was due between 4 and 6 for the second dose, I believe. And so now, you know, now with this case on the rise, I've been thinking back about it. And I'm like, okay, I'm really glad that she's protected and safe, because this is scary, right?
Yeah. Like
it, or it can be, you know, I don't want to scare people, but I mean, measles can cause all kinds of issues that, you know, we don't want to think about our children going through. But
yeah, it can also be overwhelming. And I remember, like, when my daughter was younger, they used to give us like a little pamphlet that listed like what all the different vaccines were, their abbreviations. When you said MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, those.
Yes.
Vaccines.
Yeah.
What else should we know about the importance of vaccinating our kids?
Well, we know that there's many reasons families aren't up to date on vaccines. And we want to just remind people, don't let financial barriers get in the way, because the city of Minneapolis does provide free vaccination pop-up clinics throughout the city of Minneapolis. So there goes the financial cost right there. And then I know it can get so hard, like trying to get time off work or school or whatever it is to get your child vaccinated. We just really want to say that it's so important to make time for that. Just being able to get them vaccinated gives you such peace of mind. When you know that your family is safe, right? And then, you know, we want to tell people to not be distracted by misinformation on vaccines. Get, you know, go to a trusted source like your doctor or people you trust in the community, and they can tell you about the vaccines, the right information. You know, we don't want to hear all these crazy different things, right? So, and then, you know, getting vaccinated will save you the hassle of like a sick kid or future hospital bills. And it'll protect your children from developing serious health issues too, by being vaccinated. And we can all do our part by being vaccinated and protecting our community. And we just really encourage you to talk to your doctor.
Thank you so much, Maria, for being with us today. Free clinics can be found at MinneapolisMN.gov.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. Year-over-year inflation was below 3% in July, the lowest since 2021. But CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says some areas were more volatile than others.
Food away from home was up by 4.1% from a year ago. For those who are eating in, food at home prices up by 1.1% from a year ago.
GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump doesn't hold back when it comes to telling an Asheville, North Carolina crowd about Democrat nominee Kamala Harris.
Radical liberal policies have caused horrific inflation, decimated the middle class, and gutted the finances of millions and millions of American families.
Hurricane Ernesto barrels through Puerto Rico, gaining strength while heading toward Bermuda. Hundreds of thousands in Puerto Rico have lost power. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is there.
Power is out to this neighborhood, and we've noticed that authorities have blocked access to the road, but we weren't able to immediately notice the presence of power crews.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An incoming Democratic state lawmaker from Madison is a trailblazer, Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Wisconsin will get its very first South Asian member of the state assembly. There was a three-way race for the 77th Assembly District. Renuka Mayadev ended up winning. She works in the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. There's no Republican running in November, meaning Mayadev wins the seat. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Law enforcement officers who killed a teenager who brought an air rifle to Mount Horeb Middle School in May will not be charged. The Dane County DA says the officers acted appropriately. Justice Department investigators say the officers followed correct protocols when confronted with what looked like a lethal weapon. No one but the teenage subject was killed that day. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Isn't it annoying when you're trying to make out with someone but your spouse is standing right there? Apparently this was an issue for newlywed Tom Cruise and his co-star Gina Gershon while filming the 1988 movie Cocktail. Gershon appeared on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live and said that Mimi Rogers was always present during her intimate love scenes with Cruise. Sounds like maybe Rogers wished Cruise did not insist on doing his own stunts. Celebrities have weird quirks just like you. Katy Perry recently revealed a bedtime routine she does that involves lint rolling the bottom of her feet during a recent conversation with British Vogue's In the Bag. Immediately following her admission, she says, "Is that weird? We all do weird things, and I just shared mine with the world." Fair enough, Katy. Staying in the spirit of this beat, here's a Schwabba health and beauty tip. Never accidentally use a dustbuster on your uvula. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the mid-60s. High tomorrow, mid-70s. A stray storm and partly sunny Friday. High, low 70s. The weekend looks nice with sunshine, a high around 80 on Saturday, low 80s for Sunday. It's 71 right now.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Todd Albaugh.
On our next show, Todd is joined by Sean Hannish and Kelly Call, creators of Just a Bit Outside, a brand new documentary about the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers run at the World Series. Tune in for your chance to win some tickets.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, I'm here, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Today's episode is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Good evening and welcome back. I'm Christine McDonald with the City of Minneapolis, American Indian Community Specialist, your host for Minneapolis Air. I am honored to welcome our next guest from the city's Civil Rights Department. The department has new leadership and a renewed commitment to ensure equity and fairness for all who call Minneapolis home. Joining me is Michelle Phillips, the Director of Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights, and Kayla McCannon-Diara, Labor Standards Director in their Civil Rights Department, who will share about ways residents can serve on our civil rights boards and commissions. Thank you for joining us here on Minneapolis Air.
Thank you for having us, Christine.
I'm excited. Director Phillips, first, can you tell us a little about you and your work before arriving at the city?
Absolutely. So, of course, Michelle Phillips, the newly appointed Director of Civil Rights for the City of Minneapolis. But I hail all the way from Baltimore, Maryland, originally military brat, very committed to public service and public safety, accountability and enforcement. Prior to being appointed to this current position, I was in Oakland, California, as the inaugural Inspector General for the City of Oakland. And my jurisdiction, I had independent civilian oversight over the Oakland Police Department by way of doing police performance audits, patterns and practices, and monitoring their compliance with their rules, laws, regulations, and the ordinances within the City of Oakland. Prior to that, I was the Deputy Inspector General for the City of Baltimore, where I investigated fraud, waste, abuse, public corruption with all city government. So my jurisdiction was the entire city. Anybody who did business with the city or received any money or funds from the city, which also included the Baltimore City Police Department as well. So I love public service. It's in my heart, and also accountability and being there for the residents that we serve.
Welcome to Minneapolis. I'm so happy to meet you. You were sworn in just a month ago. How are you settling in?
Oh my goodness, full steam ahead. There's a lot of work to get done, and I have an amazing team. I think there's opportunity here. I've been communicating as much as possible with enterprise leadership, as well as with community members. I try to go out, actually, when I leave here, I'll be going to George Floyd Square for office hours that we have every Wednesday. Understanding and just getting to learn what some of the challenges are, not only within the enterprise, but also within the community. So I can help to make sure that we fill those gaps and wage a path forward. I see the North Star, and I think that we have an amazing opportunity to do something really great here.
Okay, thank you. I'm excited. I can't wait to get you into community meetings with me.
Please invite me.
Exciting. Absolutely. So let's talk about your background. You have an extensive background in civil investigation as an inspector general. What does an inspector general do? And how does that experience factor into your vision as the Minneapolis Civil Rights Director?
So what's interesting is not a lot of people know about inspector general positions or offices. They started in the federal government. The 1978 Inspector General Act created inspector general positions and offices within the federal government, which they were responsible for fraud, waste, abuse, and kind of corruption and abuse of power investigations. So it expanded over the years, and then there were amendments to that to expand to state and local IG offices, inspector general offices that had a wide range of jurisdictions. So investigating contract fraud, contract compliance, which is one of the divisions in our office, of course, police misconduct, which is also one of the divisions within this office, wage theft, labor standards, and when we say enforcement, also education as well. And I think inspectors generals, as we evolve, we want to be proactive and educate community, but also hold folks accountable when they need to be held accountable. And I think that that really helps me in this particular role as I wage a path forward with some amazing division directors that I work with and amazing staff that have hunkered down and want to do what's best for the residents that we serve. So lifelong public servant, people really are my purpose. I love being outside. So for all the viewers out there, please reach out to us in our office. Even if it's just a question, feel free to reach out to us so we can help to educate and communicate. And then if there's a problem, we'll help assist as best as we can.
Beautiful. Thank you. Government accountability seems to be a theme in your career. So is that your passion? And how did you even discover your calling?
Oh my goodness, I fell into it. No, I'm going to be honest. I was doing police science research in DC. I worked for the National Police Foundation. And when I say police science research, so we looked at how communities were policed. We looked at crime hotspots, cold spots, cool spots. And we just really kind of took a look at how police officers interacted in those areas and their responses to critical incidents such as mass shootings, riots. We even did some work with state correction facilities to see how they responded and did after action reports. And I got around and I just was really passionate about that particular type of work. But I also saw kind of some of the gaps in the area of how information was being funneled to community, transparency and accountability. So the city of Baltimore was hiring while I was in DC for special agents. They just appointed a new inspector general at that time, and who is still the current inspector general is still coming. And I got a call from a colleague of mine. So networking is important. Mm-hmm. It's to say, you know, they're looking for some really great people. And I think that this is something that you could really do. I know you want to be passionate. And I really wanted to have a seat at the table for underserved folks. Inclusivity is extremely important. And I had a great opportunity to start as a special agent. And I worked my way up through that. So, yes, accountability is very important, not just governmental accountability. We must have integrity and ethics in the way that we do things. And we must be transparent in our work. We're public servants.
Mm-hmm. So what does the Civil Rights Department do?
We do quite a bit of things, and we have a lot of opportunity. One thing I'll go through really quickly are our divisions that we do have. So Kayla is our director of Complaint Investigations Division, and I won't speak too much. I'm sure she'll talk a little bit about that. And they work to prevent and prohibit discrimination in the city of Minneapolis. We also have our Office of Police Conduct Review. Let me actually back up. So Kayla and the CID department also is responsible for staffing the Civil Rights Commission, which we'll talk about a little bit later. The Office of Police Conduct Review is a neutral, impartial division that does and receives public complaints regarding allegations of police misconduct. And that division staffs the CCPO, which is our Community Commission, on police oversight. We also have Labor Enforcement Division, which Kayla is the interim director of that division. and they enforce, in short, the sick and safe time ordinance, minimum wage, wage theft as well. And then we have Contract Compliance Division, where we ensure that spending by the contractors on any city projects is invested equitably within the workers and they're not taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And lastly, we have our Equity and Engagement Division, which helps to get us out in the community, educate, train, and let community members know how we can be of assistance on the front end by educating either business owners or workers and employers, or by letting folks know who may have felt as though some of their rights were violated, either via ordinance, policy, or laws, and then they can find out how to contact us. So we do all of those things. Wow. When we are here for the residents of Minneapolis.
Wow, that is exciting. That's a big department, and you have bring a lot of great experience into that department. So thank you for being here. I'm going to start asking Kayla a couple questions. Kayla, first, can you tell us a little bit about you and your work in the Civil Rights Department?
Absolutely. Thanks, Christine. Thanks so much for having us. We're so excited that Michelle is here with the department. So I currently manage both the Complaint Investigations Division and the Labor Standards Enforcement Division. And as Michelle stated, so the Complaint Investigations Division, we're tasked with enforcing the city's civil rights ordinance. And what that largely means is that we accept and investigate complaints of discrimination. And it really can be discrimination in many different areas of life, as long as it's occurring within the city of Minneapolis. It's something we can look into. We investigate employment discrimination, housing discrimination, discrimination in public services. So if you're interacting with an employee of the city of Minneapolis and you feel like it was discriminatory, that's something that we can look into. And when I'm talking about discrimination, what I'm referring to is negative treatment based on your protected class. And what a protected class is, something about your identity that you cannot or should not be asked to change. So it's things like race, gender, sexual orientation, religion, disability, and the like. If you believe that that is really the reason why you're being mistreated in any of these different areas of life, that's something that we want to hear about and want to want you to submit a complaint, and we want to attempt to be of assistance on that. I also lead the Labor Standards Enforcement Division, and Michelle covered this very well already as well. But so what that division does is it really enforces the different city level labor laws. So though there's kind of three main buckets of those labor laws, and that is the sick and safe time ordinance, which requires that employers give employees 1 hour of sick time for every 30 hours worked. It's the city's minimum wage, which recently increased to $15.57 an hour, and it's preventing wage theft, so enforcing our wage theft ordinance.
That safe and sick time, is that new?
Fairly. It's been around for a few years in the city of Minneapolis. It is now a statewide law, and that is new. That's as of January of this year. So that's still new to the entire state, and we're really excited about that and that those protections are expanded beyond just the city level.
Thank you.
I will add, you know, we talked about these different things, wanting to hear from you and your complaints. If that is something that you're experiencing, you can call 311. You can come to City Hall and visit us. You can also find complaint forms online.
Right on. Hey, we're Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations, sponsored by Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Discover the emotional depth and vivid storytelling of Jay White's Arikara proper at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. This solo exhibition celebrates Arikara culture through the lens of an urban Indian perspective. Experience themes of empowerment, depictions of Native women, stars, and star quilts within White's vibrant acrylic paintings. Arikara proper is showing now through October 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Get inspired by Jay White's powerful storytelling on canvas. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Join the community spirit at Four Sisters Farmers Market, a seasonal hub for cultural placemaking, food access, and indigenous values. Four Sisters Farmers Market has always emphasized their commitment to the community and inclusivity, accepting SNAP and EBT benefits. Stop by and get affordable, healthy, and culturally appropriate local food.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is open Thursdays 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and is located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market on their social media accounts.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Today's episode is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations, and here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Good evening. I am Christine McDonald. Welcome back. I'm the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. And in this segment, we are having a discussion with Michelle Phillips, who is the new director of the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, and Kayla McCannon Diarra, who is the Minneapolis Labor Rights Director. Did I say that right? Probably not.
Labor Standards Enforcement and Complaint.
Labor Standards Enforcement.
Yes. Oh, it's a long title.
Thank you so much. One thing I was thinking about, and I asked about what the Department of Civil Rights does for the City of Minneapolis. I do know that like there's a state civil rights department as well. And how is that different than what we have for the city? And when would you go to either?
Great question. Yeah, so there is a very similar agency, the Minnesota Department of Human Rights, and they have jurisdiction over the entire state of Minnesota, where the City of Minneapolis Civil Rights Department would only have jurisdiction over the City of Minneapolis. Largely, you could go to either with any sort of complaint. We certainly encourage folks to come to the City of Minneapolis Civil Rights Department. We're a little bit biased over here. Yeah. I do think we would do a really good job of very efficiently responding to people and conducting our investigations in a very both effective but also efficient way. So I do encourage folks to come our way. There are some variations in protections across the board from Minnesota and the City of Minneapolis, but they are largely similar processes. But if you've experienced discrimination in the City of Minneapolis, we certainly encourage you to come here, come to us first with your concerns, and we'll investigate them. I do want to reiterate, if you've experienced discrimination, if you've experienced labor standards enforcement violations, so you don't believe you're being paid the correct minimum wage, maybe you aren't being provided sick and safe time, or maybe you've experienced wage theft. Someone isn't, you know, didn't pay you a final paycheck or didn't pay you what the agreed upon wage was for the work that you were doing. Please do reach out to us. We really do take your complaints and your concerns seriously, and we want to know that these things are happening so that we can do our best to address them. So just to reiterate, if you do have those complaints, please fill out either an online complaint form, if that's the easiest form for you to do it. You can just look up Minneapolis Civil Rights. You'll get to our website and you can navigate from there as to which type of complaint you might want to make. You can also call 311 if you'd like to talk to someone over the phone and have them fill out that complaint form for you. Or you can walk into our offices in City Hall. We're in room 239 and normal business hours. Someone is available and can get you a complaint form, can talk to you, can help you understand if you're in the right place. And then related, Christine, to your question about the city versus the state, we do from time to time get complaints that are conduct that happened outside of the City of Minneapolis, and we will refer you to the state if that's appropriate under those circumstances, or other agencies with different jurisdiction depending on where something has occurred.
I don't think a lot of people are familiar with the different types of wage theft and what that looks like.
Yeah. So, I mean, the examples we see most often are people who didn't receive a final paycheck. This is especially in a situation where maybe an employment relationship did not end on a positive note. And sometimes those final paychecks are withheld kind of as a part of that, whatever has occurred. So that constitutes wage theft. We also see cases where someone is maybe asked to clock in or to arrive at a work site for a period of time prior to when they're supposed to clock in. So maybe they need to come 15 minutes earlier, maybe it's 30, maybe it's an hour. But if your employer is requiring you to be on site and not allowing you to clock in, that is wage theft, because you're required to be at work, but they're not going to count it for the hours that you were there for what they're going to pay you. So those are probably the two most common forms.
I was going to say, I think that's the one I didn't have a word for it or a way to like put it out there, but I think being younger and a teenager and experiencing that, like you come in for for your shift, and it's like, okay, you can start, but don't clock in yet. Or you can clock out, but I need you to come back and finish stocking these shelves or something of that sort. So yeah, it's important that, that education piece out to community, just exactly what are these things that your rights may be being violated and you don't know it. And if you put the math and the money behind that, what that means for those organizations or for those businesses, that can be significant.
Absolutely. And if it's happening to you, it's probably happening to other employees at your work site too, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It really makes a big impact beyond even your own individual circumstance to report that. Our investigations, we investigate the workplace as a whole, right? So we're not even necessarily just investigating your set of facts, what you've brought forward. It really opens the door for us to take a look at, is this business complying with our labor laws across the board? So you might have had an issue where you feel like you experienced wage theft, but we're going to look closer at, your pay stubs and see, hey, does it look like you were being provided sick and safe time? If not, we're going to be looking into that issue as well. So making that complaint really, it strengthens the protections for everyone at the place where you work.
Would the business know it was me that made the complaint, or would you come in? Yeah.
Not necessarily. So sorry, that's a good question. So that is something that we can keep confidential. It largely depends on the person that's making the complaint. Some people actually, have no problem with the business knowing it was them that made the complaint. But if that's something that someone is concerned about, that's certainly something we can work with them on keeping their identity confidential.
Thank you so much for expanding on that for me. So what boards and commissions exist in the Civil Rights Department, and why, what do they do? Why do we need them?
Yeah. So boards and commissions are a really valuable part of the work that the department does. We really enjoy supporting these and working with these boards and commissions on just promoting civil rights across the city and ensuring they're protected to the best of our ability for the residents of Minneapolis. So there are three different boards or commissions that are supported by the department. There is our Civil Rights Commission, which is supported by the Complaint Investigations Division. That commission really works on, as the title suggests, civil rights issues that are of concern to the Minneapolis residents. We also have our Workplace Advisory Committee, which works on labor-related issues. And then we have our Community Commission on Police Oversight, which works on police oversight, police misconduct sort of issues. They all play really important roles in a variety of different kind of facets of the department's work. So both the Civil Rights Commission and the Community Commission on Police Oversight play really valuable roles in our actual case processes, which I think is really important and unique to the boards and commissions that work with the Civil Rights Department. So on the Civil Rights Commission side, they are the body that reviews appeals of the department's civil rights-based decisions. So that's a really valuable role that they play. They review them and they ensure that the department did everything it needed to do to come to an objective and correct conclusion. And then our CCPO, our Community Commission on Police Oversight, serves on review panels as well to take a look at police misconduct cases. And they're in there to make a recommendation as to whether or not an allegation has merit. Mm-hmm. So it's a really valuable, really important part of that decision-making that needs to happen in those types of cases. And then our Workplace Advisory Committee really has been instrumental in moving forward a lot of these labor laws that we're talking about. A lot of these labor laws are really quite new to the city level and to the city of Minneapolis. They've only been around for a few years. And these folks have really been able to be a really instrumental part of creating what those look like and how they should be enforced.
Oh, wow. That is so much work. I want to thank you both for being with me this evening and joining me on Minneapolis Air. I haven't met you in person. I'm really looking forward to meeting you both in person and having you come out into my community. So people.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll have Joe Zepecki with news analysis and our Women Win Wisconsin visit, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
I know I'm ready to start my opioids recovery journey.
because I've got courage, support, and meds. Yeah, meds. See, opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, kind of like heart disease or diabetes. And now, there are effective meds out there that work to curb the cravings. And, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I found out that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Learn how medications can help you, too, at doseofrealitywi.gov.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.